All right, so on Sunday, we had the presentation on Sunday, again, just talking about the difference between living a grace life and living the life of legalism or self-effort. We talked about that on Sunday, and there was a particular part there. We presented the truth of the gospel in that because of redemption, sin has no longer has mastery over us. Sin no longer has control over us. Sin is no longer our master. Jesus, by his blood, paid the cost for us so that we would be bought out of the slavery of sin and sentence of death with his blood. So now, and he purchased us, and we own him. I'm sorry, he owns us, and we are in him. So he is. Okay, can you all still hear me? Am I still on? Oh, okay. Looks like I'm still here. Okay, thank you. All right. So yes, and so by his blood, he purchased us, and now we are his possession. And we are in him. Therefore, sin does not control us anymore. We are free from the mastery of sin. Now, we also spoke very briefly about the very practical part of the way we live. Although sin no longer has dominion over us, there are still times, and there may be still areas, where sin appears to still be present. So, in prayer, I believe that we should talk about that tonight. We should talk about it because the Word talks about it. So let's look in the Word and let's see what the Holy Spirit is telling us about. Although we have been rescued, redeemed out of sin's clutches, we're no longer slaves to sin to obey the cravings and the control of sin. However, it does still, at times, try to continue to have mastery over us. So if you would turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. You may have heard me say from time to time that in our lives, We have situations, we have Romans chapter 7 situations that war against our Romans chapter 8 status. What does that mean? I say it a lot. Well, I don't say it a lot. I've been saying it lately as I've been studying this out because it's just a true say. And, you know, I'm always looking for a way to express a thing, and that seemed to just be true in our lives. Romans chapter 7 is always at war against Romans chapter 8 in our lives. All right, so you have it. I want you to see it in your Bible tonight as we explore again the practical side of the truth. This is the way where we live every day. This is the practical side of the truth that we have been set free from the dominion of sin, and we are now made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, being made righteous, we do righteousness. Oh, bless his name. Not by our own works, though. We cease from our own works, and we simply do the righteousness that we have been made. All right, but let's take a look at this. Romans chapter 7. This is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the church at Rome. And now Apostle Paul is speaking of himself in this part of the letter that we're going to go to. And he's explaining a deep truth. I call it deep because you can't really just catch this with your intellect. You kind of got to get in there with Paul and look at some situations even in your own life that you can identify with what he's saying in order to get this, all right? But we're going to make it clear or clearer tonight by the help of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 7, verse 19. Let's start there. And Apostle Paul, as he is writing this letter, as being inspired by the Holy Spirit to explain this phenomenon that happens in a Christian's life. Let's hear this. It says, "For the good that I would, I do not." Let me see if I want to. I might want to go up more. Okay, no, I'll start there. All right. "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Verse 20. "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." And we have to ask something here. We're saying, now hold up. Are you trying to say that the sin you do, you're not responsible for? Is that what you're saying to us? No, that's really not what's being said here. Watch this. I'm going to continue to read. We'll come back. 21. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." I find, 22. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then when the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." What is he saying to us here? Listen to this. He's saying this, that the evil that I do is not really me. Now, I want to say it differently. "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." And 20 explains that. "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwell in me." He's saying to us here that the sin that I do is not really me. That's not who I am. The Apostle Paul here has separated his true identity from the actions that he did. I want you to see this. He's not saying that, oh, you know, sin just jumped up and just did it, and I don't have anything to do with that. I'm not responsible for it. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is this: it's not me, because that's not my true identity. That's not who I am. That's not who I've been made. This sin, though, this craving that's pulling me, that's driving me, that sin, that thing that keeps popping up in my mind and my body is saying, do that, do that. My mind is saying, you want that. You know you want that. Anybody, are we going to be real tonight? Anybody? You know you want that. Sin that is present, that dwells in me, is drawing me to do that sin. But that's not who I am, though. My true identity is in Christ Jesus, and I have been made righteous. So the Apostle Paul is giving us permission to separate ourselves from the sin that we may commit. Because that's not who you are. The sin is not. The sin is not who we are. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, made righteous, holy. Oh, that's who we are. So there's permission now that we've been given by the Holy Spirit not to identify with the sin that we've done. Do we get that? If you get that, I want you to just drop yes or amen or I get it or something. Let me know you got it, and I'm going to leave it alone. If I know you got it, then I'm going to leave it alone. Now, 'cause see, that's the thing for us to catch here. I knew I shouldn't go to that movie, but I went anyway. But that wasn't me. That wasn't me. My true identity was righteousness. And I knew that in that movie, I knew it had a whole bunch of scenes I didn't need to see. But that wasn't me, though. I am in Christ Jesus. So we have permission to separate ourselves. According to this, Apostle Paul wouldn't say, oh, I went to that movie, and I knew I shouldn't go to that movie, and oh, man, what did I do? I shouldn't have done it. I went anyway. According to this, Apostle Paul would have said, sin went over the edge and went to that movie. Come on, y'all, walk with me. In that separation, I'm not going to claim that that was me. No, that was sin. That was sin. I succumbed to sin. That wasn't me. That was sin. All right, do we get this? Do we get this? I don't want to keep saying it. I may not get it right. Okay, you got it, got it, got it. Okay, looks like everybody got it.
I'm trying to figure out how to say what I want to say. So if the sin wasn't him, who was it or what was it?
Good question. I love that question. Miss Viola says, if the sin wasn't him, or let's make it personal, if the sin's not us, then who is it then? In the natural, in our natural being, in our natural living, oh yeah, it was you. You did the sin, it was you. In the natural. But in the spirit, though, in the spirit, we separate it because we know that we are in Christ Jesus. Because we're in Christ Jesus, we are made righteous. That's my true identity in the spirit. And so therefore, the who I really am in my true identity didn't do that sin. It's a difference between seeing it in the natural and seeing it in the spirit. Let's see. Our sister Princess said, but does that mean we now release the sin to God because we take ownership of the actions? I tell you all what. Let's do this. Let me carry on for a little while longer. And if I don't answer your question, we'll come back to it, okay? Just kind of hear me out a little bit more. And remember that we're talking in the spirit and not in the natural. If LaVon went to that movie, it was me that went to that movie in the natural. Absolutely. And in the natural, I take responsibility for that movie that I went to. Yeah, in the natural. What the Holy Spirit is trying to show us here is a spiritual truth. But again, let me just continue to see if I can hit it for you. If I can't, we're going to come back to it, all right? All right. So here we go. Oh, okay. Oh, yes, Pamela.
I don't know if this is the same thing or not. So if it's not, then please correct me. But when I heard you say it, I heard, but it gave me a deeper understanding of this. I heard the real me didn't go to the, so it wasn't the real me that led me to the movie. The real me is my spirit man. So the real me, who's the righteousness of God, didn't lead me to that movie. But like you said, in the natural, the flesh me succumbed to going to the movie. And the real me didn't take over such that I didn't go to the movie. Does that make sense? That's how I heard it.
Yeah, and that's as close as you can get. That's good, Pamela. That's as close as you can get. So again, I'm going to keep going. And if I don't answer this question, we're coming back to it. All right. Because isn't that really the question of living in a practical life in the earth and being a spiritual being? This is really the question. So here we go. All right. So I've said that. The Apostle Paul has separated himself from sin. The craving of the sin is not me because I am the righteousness of God. All right, here we go. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. The evil is always present. The evil is present, drawing me to do something that's contrary to my true identity. The evil is continuing to draw me, the craving in my continually to draw me. Okay, 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He's saying here that who I truly am on the inward man in my spirit delights in the law of God. I in my spirit man, who I truly am, I love God's way. I love the things of the Lord. That's who I really am. I delight in, but I see another law in my members, in my body, in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. So watch this. My members. I used a movie. I'm going to use now food. I'm keeping it light. You put yours in there, whatever yours is, because I want to tell you something. Romans chapter 7 happens in the life of every Christian. There are no exemptions. All to different varying degrees, however. And the varying degree is dependent upon our growing up, our spiritual maturity. The more we mature in our understanding of who we are in Jesus Christ and the practice of walking that out, the less Romans chapter 7 rules in our lives. Watch this. When you first got saved, when I first got saved, I was still doing all the stuff, the things. I was still smoking. I was still drinking. I was still stuffing things when I first got saved. But, you know, in being in the Word and practicing the Word and hearing the Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to grow me up in the Word and asking for, you know, knowing that I can be delivered from this and changed in this and that. After a while, you know, that sanctification process, then I'm going to go with the big sins. Can I say the big sins? I don't do those. That's not an issue for me now. But it was a process. So wherever we are in the process will determine how much is evil present with you and how strong is that craving in your life. How strong is sin dwelling in and drawing you to act outside of who you have been made in Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, no matter where you stand in your spiritual maturity and your understanding and knowledge of the gospel and how it works in our lives, every one of us are still having this war going on in our members. Now, let's use food. That war going on in warring in my member could be ice cream. Ice cream's not really a bad thing. Ice cream's not even really sin. I just know that ice cream is not good for my body. My body rejects it. It doesn't work well. It's not something that I should be eating because it's not. My body says, no, why are you doing this? There is a consequence for me in eating this ice cream. And so, but guess what? I still crave it though. That's a war going on in my member. Ice cream would really be good, you know, especially after a really good meal, you know what I mean? Oh, wouldn't some ice cream be good? That's war going on in my members. Though inward, my inward man, the one that's disciplined before the Lord, is saying, you're not going to like the end result of that. You know, now, do I have a choice? Well, we always do. We have a choice. Which one? What's your choice? Yet again, the point here in Romans chapter 7 is the law of sin is the one that's causing the craving, whatever the craving is. It's the law of sin that causes the craving in your member. But me, the real me, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That's my true identity. Therefore, I do not identify with the law of sin. Okay, let me keep going. He also says, "A wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who delivered us from the body of this death. Jesus Christ our Lord delivered us from the warring that's going on. There's a war going on. The war that has been won in Jesus Christ through redemption. We talked about redemption on Sunday. Redemption was what? We have been redeemed from the slavery of sin. We have been redeemed from the control of sin. Sin no longer has dominion. Sin can no longer tell us what to do. We don't have to ever obey sin anymore. We've been delivered and redeemed from that through Christ Jesus. Are we seeing this in the Spirit? So then, therefore, because through Jesus Christ our Lord, we've been redeemed from the control of sin to no longer have to obey sin again, therefore, there is no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, where are we? What's our position in Christ Jesus? And seeing that we are in Christ Jesus, then we are in his law. And his law is the law of life, the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. So we, of course, being in Christ Jesus, are no longer susceptible. We are no longer in the law of sin and death. Because we're in Christ, the law of sin and death is not in Christ Jesus. The only law that we are now under is the law of the Spirit of life, because we're in Christ Jesus. At least, does that make sense? We're not under the law of sin and death because we're in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, there's only one law, and that law is of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them who walk after the Spirit. Who walk after, who live in, who abide in, who conduct themselves after the Spirit. I don't feel like I'm making this clearer, but let me keep going. Let me keep going here. For what the law could not do in that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh did this. God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, by a sacrifice for sin, weakened, drained the control of sin in the flesh. That's what it's saying in 3. Because we are in Christ Jesus, redeemed by the blood, then Jesus, by that sacrifice, drained the power of sin in our lives. Drain the power of sin, that sin can no longer control us. Redemption did that. 4, keep walking, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. This is how we know that we're walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Because they that are after the flesh do mind. What does that mean? You pay attention to. Your focus is on. You are concerned about the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So here we go. Those who are living, walking, concerned with, set their goals on, set the direction of their life on the things of the flesh are those that mind the things of the flesh. That's what that means. But they that are in the spirit, likewise. You set your direction on, your focus is on the things of the spirit. That's how you can tell the difference. So, okay, so now verse 6 is our part. Here's our part. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So what's our part in this? In what? In this matter of the warring of sin against the true identity of who we are. We have sin, the craving of sin, always warring against our true identity. About this matter, this is our part. Our part is to be spiritually minded. Okay, we see that, right? So, because what's being explained to us is being spiritually minded causes us, helps us to walk after the things of the Spirit. So being spiritually minded now gives us, let me put it this way, the strength, the focus, we puts us in the position whereby the war of sin against our members no longer have the strength to cause us to follow after the craving of the sin. Spiritually minded, that's our part. Peter says, how does, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin fit in? Let me come back to that. So, okay, well, okay, Dion got a clearing. Okay, thank you. It's coming, it's coming. Walk with me, everybody. It's coming, it's coming. I'll get back to that, Pamela. And if I don't answer that question, then we'll get back to that, all right? Okay, again, let us be clear on what we're talking about tonight. This is a subject that is not easily covered, but we're going to cover it. Because this is our practical side of how we walk this out. You know, we can preach the word, the gospel, and we should. And oh my goodness, the gospel is preached in this house that lets us know who our true identity of who we are in Christ Jesus and who he's made us to be. And yet and still, we do still have to address this thing that says, yeah, but I still sin though. We have to address that. And so that's what we're doing tonight. All right. So walk with me. Ask all the questions you want. And I'm not saying I have the answers for them, but you get them out there and we're going to believe God to get the answer. All right. All right. Here we go. So we're talking about this matter whereby the Apostle Paul has alerted us by the Holy Spirit that we must remember that the craving of sin, the control of sin, that warring in our members is not a part of our true identity. We can therefore separate ourselves from it. We don't have to claim that as that's who we really are. And how do we do that? Because we know that we are in Christ Jesus, and in him is only the law of the Spirit of life. And since we're in him, that is the only law that we identify with. However, that law of sin that is warring against the members of our flesh, therefore, it is still warring. It is for us to know, though, through redemption, the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, it killed, it separated us, it diminished the control, the power of sin over us. Redemption drained the power of sin out of our lives. We are now alive unto God by the Spirit of life. What's our part? We continue in the Word of God. We continue in living the life of God, being spiritually minded. We set our affection on, our desires on, our goals on, our direction on, what we say on, how we feel on, how we live on, spiritually minded. And in so doing, now, in so doing, we have cut off the control of sin. Sin is cut off now. And our spiritually minded self. Carnally minded is death. Spiritually minded is life and peace. And let's be clear, peace with God. Spiritually minded is life and peace with God. All right. Okay. We'll keep going. All right. Because the carnal mind is enmity. This is verse 7. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity means it's in opposition of. The carnal mind is in opposition against God. Carnally minded, we stay away from that. We're spiritually minded. We are spiritually minded. If we remain carnally minded, then we can't help but be against God and the things of God. Therefore, we refrain from being carnally minded. Now, that's our part. That's our part speaking of movies. That's our part speaking of what we talk about. That's our part speaking of our friends and the people we hang around. That's our part. Spiritually minded is our part. That's our part to do. Spiritually minded is staying in the Word, saying the Word, praying the Word, being the Word. That's our part. Spiritually minded, what we allow to entertain us. It's we set our affections in our life towards being spiritually minded. All right. So verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9 makes this very clear. But you and me, we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? It does. If you're a child of God, if you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he's none of it. So those who do not have the Spirit of Christ, we expect them to be carnally minded. But that's not you. The Holy Spirit is telling us it's not you. You are in the Spirit. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The body is dead concerning sin. If Christ be in you, the body is dead concerning sin. That war against your members, your body is dead concerning that. Christ is in you. There's only one law working in you, the law of the Spirit of life, which is life and peace. The law of sin is not at work in you. So the body is dead. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him, verse 11 is his part. Now we've got out, we have our part. You know what your part is? Your part, my part, be spiritually minded. Continually, always spiritually minded. Remember Psalms chapter 1? Meditates on God's law day and night and don't sit in the seat of scornful and stand in the way of sinner. You know, that's another way of expressing this carnal, spiritually minded. That we set our entire existence on the things of the Spirit. We're spiritually minded. Now, 11, that's our part. But this is his part. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. That's his part. The Spirit that dwells in us quicken, makes alive, makes our bodies alive to the things of the Spirit. That's his part. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But here's 13. Here is the collaboration. We have our part. Our part, spiritually minded. And so being spiritually minded, then we are set and energized and strengthened against that war that's always going on in our members. And to the degree that we're spiritually minded is to the degree that we don't succumb We don't bow down to, we don't surrender to that war that's always in our members. Because, see, temptation is always going to come, always comes, doesn't it? The temptation to sin always comes. But we don't have to follow the temptation. But it's always coming. There's always that temptation. So therefore, to the degree that we are spiritually minded is the degree that we are able to stand against that war, because our bodies are dead, because we are in Christ Jesus, dead to sin, but alive to righteousness. And his part is to quicken our mortal bodies. That's this body. This right here, that beyond the spirit. See, as we're spiritually minded, then our Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, can quicken, make alive our mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in us. That's his part. Verse 13 is the collaboration. This is what we do together. Are you ready? Verse 13. For if you and me live after the flesh, you shall die. We heard that. But if you and me through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Do you see? There's a collaboration here now. Our part, be spiritually minded. His part, quicken the mortal bodies. And when we put that together through the Spirit, we're going to mortify, means to kill, the deeds of the body. We're going to kill the cravings of the body put together. So this is, again, simply another way for us to look at how self-effort to try to be righteous on our own can't work. We need the collaboration of the Spirit that lives inside of us in order for that to work. We can work ourselves to the bone trying to do right, trying to stop this thing over here, and I'm going to stop cussing, and I'm, you know, all the things that we know that's warring in our members. If we are trying to do that on our own, you will not succeed. Because we must have that part of the Spirit that quickens our mortal body. We must know that we're in Christ Jesus and we are operating from the law of the Spirit of life only, that the law of sin of death has no place with us. And in so knowing and in so doing, we collaborate with the Spirit and mortify, kill the deeds of the body. So we cease from our own works. We cease from all the things that you know. I always got a story, don't I? Like, I wasn't going to tell a story, but Holy Spirit just gave me one. Let me tell you this story. I used to smoke cigarettes. Oh, boy, and then I smoke. I did. I started out, you know how it is when you start out with sin. Sin, doesn't the Bible tell us what in the book of James, sin grows up? It does. I started out smoking a pack of cigarette would last me 2 weeks probably. Oh my goodness though. But by the end, I was smoking more than two packs a day. That's how sin grew up in me. You know, that addiction to that nicotine, I needed it, my body said. My body said it wore in my memory. I was saved reading the Bible with a cigarette in my hand. So come on now, I'm gonna just tell the truth. And so, you know, warring, that war, but I didn't want to sin. I don't want to have this sin. I know I'm sinning against God. Lord, I would say, Lord, how can I be a witness to you if I'm smoking a cigarette? But I was weak. I could not stop. I tried everything you could think of. I got the patch and did the praying. I did everything. I tried to go cold turkey. And Lord, all the folks was living, going cold turkey was not good for everybody around me, because I was evil as a black snake. You know, I tried. In my own effort, I can do this. You know, I tried. Oh my goodness, I tried. None of it worked. You know what happened? I went to a believer. And I said, believer, I don't want to smoke cigarettes anymore. And I remember this like it was yesterday. She said, okay. And she got to praying in the spirit. That's what she did. She went to the spirit that mortifies the deeds of the flesh. She went to the spirit and she got to praying. And so she prayed, I'm praying too. All right, Lord, we're going to do this thing. And through prayer, it was through prayer. I'll just put it this way. I haven't smoked since then. Angels didn't come down. You know what I mean? None of that happened. It was none of, you know, I didn't see no lights. None of that happened. None of that happened. But he did his part, and I did mine, and mortified the deed of the body. My God. My God. There's just some stuff we can't do. Well, listen. Now that we're in Christ Jesus, then we don't want to do anything of ourselves. But that collaboration, though, that collaboration. My collaboration there was the desire to live the righteousness that God had made me. I couldn't say it like that back then. I didn't know all that back then. I just knew it was a sin against God, and I didn't want it no more. And I reached out for help, and help came. Oh, my God. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Okay, now, what questions did I didn't answer before? Deanna Stewart says, before I accepted Christ, I was sin, and nothing I would or could do on my own would or could change that. And now, after I have accepted Christ, I am holy, even though I may sin. And nothing can change that. Glory to God. Oh, I like that. Yes, yes, yes. That's it. Deanna Stewart, that's it. That's it, that's it. Questions? So then, with the mind, I must self-serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Did I answer that question? Okay, Pamela.
So it was back. So when you were walking through, I missed what you said. When that was back in verse 25 of chapter 7. Mm-hmm. And as you were walking us through, I don't know what you said when you were. I remember at verse 25, you said, when it says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that like who shall deliver me from the body of this death mm-hmm. is Jesus who delivers me from the body of this death." But I missed what you said about that latter part of that verse.
Okay. All right. All right. Give me a second. So here, when he says, "I myself serve," you could also say, he could have also said, "I myself am a servant to the law of God." He says, "with my mind." But with the law, what with the flesh, the law of sin. It's difficult to say. We can't take that literal. I don't ever really want to say that about the Bible. But let's understand the point that he's making. The whole point that the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul is making in this part is this. This is the whole point. So I don't want us to get tripped up in the way he expressed it, but the point, this is the whole point he was making. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, and that's my true identity. I love the law of God. I love the things of God. I love everything about God. Yet, in my flesh, there are still cravings in my flesh. It's still warring against my true identity. I'm not free from the temptation of the craving of sin. And if I do sin, that's not really me. The real me is the righteousness of God. Like Dion said, if I do sin, that didn't change who I am. I am still the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's the way to say it. Thank you, Deanna Stewart. That's the way to say it. And That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here, that if we do surrender to the craving of sin, it doesn't change your identity. That's the whole point. Does that make sense?
So basically, what he's saying in this passage is for us not to, for lack of a better way to put it, allow the bondage of guilt to trap us into believing that we are no longer righteous. Like he's basically explaining that we still maintain our righteousness because of God. That will never go away, that'll never change, which then allows us to see areas that we can work on, but that part of it never changes for us. We always maintain our righteousness. Once we've accepted Christ, that part doesn't change. So that's what I'm taking away from how the passage is broken down.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. That is exactly what it's saying. And it's also instructing us of what's our part. This is your part. Be spiritually minded. Do we understand what spiritually minded is? Can somebody, anybody, want to explain that for us? What's spiritually minded? How do you be spiritually minded?
I see that as living, moving, and having our being in Christ Jesus. In other words, he didn't sin, and he was in a human body like we are, but he was able to stay in the righteousness that he was made to be originally, because he's God. He didn't come away from that. He was always God and man, but he could do it both at the same time, which we can do if we choose his will instead of our will when it comes to sinning. Because our will is the possibility is to go the war direction, or, you know, we're always, because the devil's on his job always, we're always giving that choice, the opportunity to go the way of our flesh, which wants stuff. And it's not necessarily good for us unless it's God's will for us. So if we come out of his will, then we're up for grabs as far as sin is concerned. I don't know whether that makes sense to anybody or not.
Okay, well, and then Miss Viola, I'm coming to you. Let me address this way. As long as we, you and I, are here in the earth, in this body, we will be tempted to sin, and at times we will. Listen, that's just it. So at times we will. Now, however, though, day by day, moment by moment, we are, as we are growing and developing and maturing in the things of the spirit, the craving to sin has less power, lesser and lesser power in our members. Again, the point is, Romans chapter 7, the point is the war will always be present. The war, the craving to sin will always be present. But Romans chapter 8 tells us, though we have been freed from the control of the craving to sin by the redemption of Jesus Christ, Because the blood that Jesus shed for us, it was a spiritual thing. It drained the power of sin over our lives so that we can live unto God. But again, but spiritually minded, when we're talking about being spiritually minded, we're not talking about being perfect. We're not talking about not being tempted to sin. Being spiritually minded is we set our affections, our desires, our goals. We conduct our entire life according to the Spirit. That's spiritually minded. And the more we do it, the more we practice it, the more it becomes us, the more we understand it. The more it becomes a part of us, then the more we realize for every temptation, the more we realize the truth that the power of sin has been drained and has no power over us. The more we are spiritually minded. That's our part. But we also said that his part beyond redemption, of course we know that was his part, but his part in our day-to-day is to quicken our mortal body, make our mortal bodies alive to what's going on in our spirit as we're being spiritually minded. We're learning about who we are in Christ Jesus. And because I am a child of God, now he causes our mortal bodies to catch up with the truth of our spirit. And let me put it this way. Our mortal bodies begin to obey the truth in our spirits. Does that make more sense? And then together, verse 13, together, the collaboration is that we, as we are spiritually minded, conducting our lives according to the Spirit, then through the Spirit, we kill the deeds of the body. Then through the Spirit, the war of sin, the craving of sin, is killed in our bodies. Killed. All right. Miss Viola?
I'm still having a hard time. I guess I'm still in old school and can't get myself out of that. And what I understand that our spiritual bodies are one place, but the sin is in another place. But if I'm still sinning, we're trying to get ourselves ready when Jesus come back. And if I'm still sinning, how am I the righteous if I'm still sinning at that time?
Okay, no, good question. All right, now, okay, hold on to this. Hold on, Miss Viola, hold on. You got to hold on to your chair. Here it comes. Here comes the truth. When Jesus comes back, every child of God will still be in sin. Not, I don't want to say be in sin. Every child of God will still have sin somewhere in their lives. So, here's the grace of God for us. This is the love of God towards us. This is the immeasurable truth of the gospel. We were made righteous in Jesus Christ. And even though we will still have sin somewhere doing sin, we're still going home to be with Jesus. We're not trying to earn our place in heaven. Our place in heaven has been given to us as a gift. The grace of God gave us our home in heaven. If he came today, if he come 10 years from now, those of us who are in Christ Jesus belong to God and we're going home. So we're not trying to be sinless so that we can go to heaven. No, we're already there. We are compelled to live a righteous life, to live what we've been made, because we've received his love. His love compels us. It draws us. It causes great desire in us to live pleasing to him. So our motivation to be free from sin is not to go home. Our motivation to be free from sin is because we love him. And we want to be, we want what we do to be pleasing to him.
That's it. That's it. That's the simplicity of it. That love is what draws us to be like him, to be like Jesus. And that love is what makes us want to not sin. And it makes us want to be more like him because he loved us first so much. And that compels us. It draws us. It's almost like we can't get away from it because it's the love that makes the difference. And I think that the Spirit is, the Holy Spirit helps us draw closer to the love of God and see how much he loved us. And then we want to be like him because he loved us so much. It's hard to comprehend.
Amen. Yes, it's the love. It's love, love. Jesus in John 14 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then he also said, when you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's automatic. It's a thing that happens. Again, it's a spiritual thing that happens. You know, the more we understand this gospel and the love and the grace of God, you know, to know that I am righteous before God, to know that I am pleasing to God, to know that he sees me as his own, his beloved, even when I was in sin, he loved me anyway. See, that compels, it swells our hearts and our desires. Lord, if you love me that much, what can I do for you? You know, it's his love. We're now motivated by his love to live in a way that brings glory to him, to be the carriers of his life. It's his love that does that. Amen. All right. Now, what's our part? Be spiritually minded. His part, beyond redemption, you know, that was his part. Absolutely. His part only. That was the only thing he could do. As we're being spiritually minded, then the message, let's put it this way. The message of our spirits that we are the righteousness of God, then our mortal bodies are going to get the email. They're going to get the text. We're righteous. We don't do that, you know. And then that war begins to, you know, the truth of the redemption that sin, we are no longer obligated to sin. Sin is no longer our master. We've been redeemed from that and now belong to Jesus Christ. That message gets to our mortal bodies, right? And then it is together that as we are spiritually minded and the Spirit of God is killing the deeds, the cravings, the dictates, the control of the body, that craving, I got to sin. Nope. Amen. All right. Okay. Now. All right. Big Ed said, I think I got it. All right. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. This is a subject that we have to talk about it. You know, we have to tackle this. Because this is our practical, this is our day-to-day living. We have to understand that I did this sin, but because we're in Christ Jesus, it wasn't, you know, we don't, those of us who are in Christ Jesus that live by the Spirit of life, we don't just go and intentionally sin and like it. We don't. You know, So we have to know, like Dion the Stewart said, I'm a saint. I've been made righteous. Even if I do sin, it doesn't change my status that I am in Christ Jesus and a child of God and a saint before God and holy before God and pleasing to God. It doesn't change. It doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change my true identity because, after all, my identity is Him anyway. All right. Bless the Lord. Oh, this was good. This was good. Oh, I hope you got something out of that. I hope this makes it a little clearer, or I hope a lot clearer for us as, again, we're in our day-to-day, moment by moment. Now, let me just say this real quick. This just came up, and then I know we got to let this go. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. If we sin, we're not condemned because we are in Christ Jesus. But if we sin, we are convicted. Conviction. That conviction comes from Holy Spirit. To let you know, you know that's not right. You know you need to get that right. You know you need to let God handle that. Let me say it right. The Holy Spirit wouldn't say, you know you need to get that right. He would say, you know you need to let the Holy Spirit, you let me deal with this. Let me let you go free from this. What did you, you know, how about get spiritually minded on this particular subject that you continue to fall in? How about do your part and be spiritually minded in that part, in that thing? You know, search out the scripture. What does the scripture say about you concerning smoking cigarettes? I'm just using that as an example. What does the scripture say about get stay in there and grab a hold of that and feed yourself that continually? And while you're doing that, the Spirit of the living God, I will go do His part. And before you know it, you go free. So conviction is real for a believer. Condemnation, we have no parts with that. All right. Pamela, so it seems like being spiritually minded may manifest or be implemented differently depending on the type of sin draw. What do you mean by that, Pamela?
So I've had experiences like you where it was a I didn't use the right term. What's the draw of sin, the pull? Mm-hmm. And I've gone to God or asked for prayer, and bam. Free. But then there are other areas where it's more like God, it doesn't come immediate. It's not like that bam and just free.
Yeah.
Like use the example of cigarettes. For me, it was secular music. You know, I was like, I wasn't even necessarily trying to give it up. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, if you want me to not, you want me to get it up, you got it. And bam. But then there are other things where it doesn't happen, like, you know, I can just pray in the spirit or pray and it's like, bam, gone, free. So that's why I say it seems like sometimes spiritually mindedness may, I don't know if it's the right word, manifest, implement. There may be times when I need to meditate on different scriptures that God, the Holy Spirit has given me. You know, He may give me certain scriptures I may need to meditate on, and I may have to meditate on them, you know, day and night, or it may be something else that the Holy Spirit is leading me to do. That's why I say spiritually mindedness may have to, I don't know the right word.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But it may show up differently.
Yeah. We may, there are different, let's use the term method. Does method be okay? Yeah, the Lord will use different methods, you know, depending on, or whatever, and you know, time frames, they are absolutely different as well. Sometimes it would be, you know, what you spending time in the Word, or you spending time meditating, or it could be, and like in my case, reach out for help somewhere, you know, or it, and also in my case, I had to go get some formal counseling for a whole lot of stuff. So he has, it's different ways to be spiritually minded. And I think that's what you're saying. But what we do is verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we're being led by the Spirit of God as to what it is our part will be and how it manifests in our lives. We're going to be led by the Spirit of God. And when what we hear, then that we'll do. And we'll walk in it. And let's keep in mind, too, as we are walking in these things, I don't want to add another element. Let me not say that. I'm going to add another layer to it. I'm going to let that go. All right. Glory to God. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for your attention tonight and for your questions and really being engaged in what the Lord is saying. I know he's pleased, my God. I know he's pleased with us that are drawing from him to get that knowledge and understanding that we can walk it out and depend on him completely and totally. All right. Even in those issues of sin in our lives, we still depend totally on God to realize the freedom that he has already given us. Amen. All right. Amen. Now, announcements. I should have cleared. So, Brother Alex, are you announcing tonight or is it me? What we talked about on Tuesday. The in person in.
I think I'm announcing it tonight.
Okay. I wanted to be obedient.
So, Safe Refuge Ministries, we are always focused on doing things at Safe Refuge Ministries on par with the excellence God has required of us in the kingdom. So we want to make sure that we give room and space for everyone to participate whenever we have our events or our projects or initiatives around the church. And in particular, on Sundays, we do the after church fellowships. And as we have always in the past, focus on doing it on the level where God is pleased. And we want to open it up to people getting involved where they can put their faith to use in their involvement as far as not just the food, as you have always participated in doing with us, your being led, you being led to hear the Spirit and do what he tells you to do. So he may say, well, I think you should bring napkins. Well, by all means, don't you bring something else? You bring napkins. And he'll tell you where to go, where to get them, and how many, and whatever. We don't want to make this too small or too big as far as asking people to get involved. But what we want is for the whole church to see this as an opportunity to put your faith to use in our after service fellowship as far as hearing the Spirit of the Lord and obeying, because somebody's going to get blessed. Somebody's life is going to get changed. Somebody's going to be set free and delivered right there in our fellowship, as it has always happened. But at this time, I don't want to be greedy. Now, listen, people. I would rather foot the whole bill. But now, if I foot the whole bill, Don't be angry at my harvest. So I'm not allowed to be greedy. So since I'm not allowed to be greedy, flip the whole bill, because it wouldn't be God's way. I want people to step up and put their faith to use and hear what the Lord is saying for you to do as far as participating, because you will be blessed. Because as Pastor mentioned tonight, God never forgets a seed sown. You say, Alex, and even this, he never forgets a seed sown. So you're not just bringing a casserole, a cake or a pie, some napkins. You are sowing a seed into somebody's deliverance. Now, we, as you know, as most of you know, we're not just sitting around eating. We're encouraging each other in the Lord. We're speaking into their lives. We are lifting them up with our words of encouragement in such a way, in such an intimate setting, to where it's almost mistaken for something else. Like, that was, you didn't lay hands, you didn't shake, you didn't speak in tongues, you didn't throw some oil, and I still got the whole gist of that. I got the whole message of that while we eating. And that's what the Lord wants. Remember, he broke bread. When he came back after he had resurrected, he broke bread. I want you to focus in on that. He likes when we break bread. Why? It causes you to fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ in such a way they speak into your life unknowingly, and you grow more and more. Not they, you too, all of us together collectively. But I want to give space for you to become more aggressive about sowing into your brothers and sisters' lives. With a pie? Well, for me, yes. With a cake? Yes. For me, yes. For somebody else, it could be you bring in the beverage. You bring in the mountain spring water. I don't know what he's going to tell you to give, but I know he's saying something. How do I know that? Because he speaks to all of us. And again, I could foot the bill, but again, don't be mad at my harvest. Because Psalm 20 and 3 says, he never forgets a seed sown. And don't you want your brother and sister in the Lord to increase, to grow, to go and do what the Lord has called them to do? Of course you do. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. All right. With that being said, we will be in person at Miss Viola's house this Sunday at 11 o'clock. And we hope all of you can make it. But if you can't, we will be streaming also at 11 o'clock on Sunday. All right. All right, everyone. All right. Thank you, everybody, again, Brother Alex, for your exhortation there. And everyone for your participation tonight. Oh my goodness, I love you. And the good thing is, man, God loves you much more than that. And Jesus, the head of the church, the head of the body, oh, he loves you so much. So let's go spread that love this week, and I'll see you on Sunday. Good night, everybody.